Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is somebody I have always admired, Senator Liz Krueger, a Democrat serving New York's 28th District. Welcome, Senator. You're truly one of my heroes in a state government which doesn't have that many of them, and we welcome you.
Well, I'm honored, and thank you very much for having me on today.
There used to be two Kruegers, the good Krueger and the bad Krueger. But I think the bad Kruger,
there's just one standing.
The bad Kruger went to jail. So
correct. And we were not related.
No,
in no way
even
were we
related. Spelled a little bit differently. Anyway,
yeah.
I think that the reason that I'm so happy about having you on today is that many of the things that you've espoused for so long now have the potential for happening. Just let me expound a little bit. I'm a little bit concerned because things that the Assembly passed, knowing that the Republicans in the state Senate, when they had the majority, wouldn't do them, now have changed. So I hope that they're willing to do things like ethics reform. And I know that you've got some packages out there. What do you want to see, Dan?
Yeah. So actually, it's great starting with ethics reform. I'll just throw in, I think we're committed to voting reform, campaign finance reform as well, sort of the whole package of proposals. Yesterday, I did a press conference with quite a few of the good government groups and constitutional experts and members of the Senate and the Assembly on a constitutional amendment to design a completely new and independent ethics commission that would not have any of the fatal flaws of the current J-COPE system. Would be picked independently, could not have investigations canceled out by either the governor, the majority leader, or the speaker. People would know what happened. It would have the power to sanction. It would even have the power to direct towards criminal justice if crimes were committed. It is so critical that the state government prove to the people of New York State that we are legitimate, we are following the law, and just like everybody else, if we're not, we're going to get caught and penalized. And frankly, I think that part of the explanation for why our voter turnout is so disturbingly low in state elections in New York is that huge numbers of voters just don't think that we are legitimate or that we are operating a legitimate government. So I feel it is imperative that we start to pass some of these important pieces of legislation. In addition, I have a brand new colleague. Her name is Alessandra Biaggi. She beat Jeff Klein in a primary.
Well-deserved.
Well-deserved, and she is totally committed to ethics, and she asked to be the chair of the Ethics Committee, and Andrea Stewart-Cousins approved that. And then we actually expanded the powers of the Ethics Committee to actually take up legislative change as well. That didn't have that power in the past. And so I know that Alessandra, because I was just at her inauguration ceremony, and this is what she talked about, is focused on reviewing a whole package of ethics legislation that has been written but never moved anywhere. She's extremely committed to revisiting the sexual harassment law that passed just a year ago, but many of us at the time said was going to prove to be completely inadequate. And we had experts in employment law and sexual harassment telling us at the time this law is way too weak to do anything. So she's committed to fixing that half-baked proposal. There's just a long, long list of things on legislative oversight and investigations and ethics. So we also want to make sure that those powers of the controller to review large contracts happens before the money spent instead of after the spent. That was historically the story, and then we reversed it at the request of the governor maybe 4 or 5 years ago. It was a serious mistake to take the state controller out of the process just to have another less set of eyes on asking the questions and requiring the right vetting before any kinds of contracts for state money get let.
Yes, out of all of the things that have been done that have disturbed me lately, that's one of them. I have to say that I'm a great admirer of Tom DiNapoli. I think he's done a good job. I had no idea, Liz Krueger, why this was done other than to get the wolves off the scent.
Well, whatever the motivation was at the time, I think it's clear to everyone now that it was a mistake and that there's a really important, we already know there's an important role for the state controller in auditing government agencies and government programs, but pulling them out of the loop on contracts has just proved, frankly, to be a disaster. If I was the governor, I would desperately want to put this rule back.
But he isn't.
Because
he isn't, Liz. I mean, I'm trying not to interrupt and give you a hard time, but he isn't. It's, look, I'm, you know, I have a newfound relationship with the guy. He comes on the radio with me all the time. I've asked him about this several times. He wants an investigatory function in his own office. In other words, the chicken guarding the hen house. I don't get that.
I have to say, I think fundamental to democracy is that you have a system of checks and balances, that you have co-equal branches of government that get to go, time out, this one's a problem, that it's just a fundamental necessity to protect democracy. So if the governor is not in the same place I am, we're just going to have to disagree. But I feel very strongly that it's the obligation of the legislature to make sure we have checks and balances. And again, I can't speak for the governor. I won't speak for the governor. Mm. If I was a governor of 20 million people and $170 billion budget, I would actually want as many checks and balances and bells and whistles to protect my own reputation and my own legacy. So I think he and I just might have to disagree on this one.
Now, you haven't mentioned a rising star, Senator Skoufis, who is going to be charged.
Well, there are many rising stars. Right. I have such great new colleagues.
You do indeed. And Senator Skoufis has made it clear that this idea of a coordinate branch of government is right, and he's going to be doing investigations. And when I asked the governor about that, he made headlines by saying, okay, they can investigate me, and I'll investigate them, basically. What'd you make of that?
Well, I actually thought that Senator Skoufis' response was exactly the right response. If your agencies are distributing member items or grants at the request of anyone, we assume you are vetting carefully to make sure it's going to be used for what everyone has agreed is the correct use of that money. So, you know, I think that Senator Skoufis knew what the implications of the governor's statement was, but it's, you know, the exact same conversation I had with colleagues in the Senate when I would debate and sometimes actually stop my colleagues' bills from passing our Senate. And they would say, well, we can go after your bills too. And I go, well, of course you can. I can't imagine anybody in the Senate not reviewing the bills, having hard questions about whether they can support them or not, and challenging them if they think they're not in the best interest of the state of New York. Again, that goes back to the point of checks and balances. We don't sign up to be elected officials to be popular. It's not high school. We sign up and we ask people to vote for us so that we actually have the power to set the laws they live under. We have the power to tax them and spend their hard-earned money on what we believe is necessary for the public good. We are supposed to challenge each other. We are supposed to expand on vetting and transparency. That guarantees a successful long-term democracy. All of these attempts to not let the public participate, not be transparent and clear about what you're doing, what the money's being spent for, why a bill should be a law, all of those are failing models. So I really do hope more and more and more of us start, not comprehend it, but sort of enwrap ourselves in that understanding of what our jobs are.
Okay, so really quickly, because I got so much more I want to ask you about,
sure.
Liz Krueger, the pay raise. Obviously, the pay raise came with a codicil. You take the pay raise, you can't work on the outside, you can't get outside money. Now, I know you're as honest as the day is long, and you're terrific, but some of your colleagues are still, you know, still had jobs which were paying them great amounts of money on the outside, and I have always thought it was the invitation to, you know, some kind of at least moral corruption. People go to the senator because they think they perceive the senator as somebody who has a lot of power. And it doesn't sit well with me, and it doesn't sit well with a lot of other people. What's your thinking on this?
Well, I think you do know that from the very beginning of becoming a senator, I have not supported the concept of Lulus, and I did not take my Lulu.
A Lulu is that extra money that they...
money. Yeah. But you would get... It would be decided whether you got it or not based on your leadership.
Sure.
And I never wanted to have even a perception that how I voted or behaved as a senator was correlated to keeping a leader happy or unhappy and affecting my pay. So I just thought right away, I just won't, you know, take the Lulu and then I won't ever have to deal with this.
That's why we love you.
Well, thank you. But I'm also quite happy that the commission did increase the pay because the legislators haven't gotten a pay raise in 20 years. I can't find anybody in private sector or anywhere else in government that went without any pay raise in 20 years.
All right.
So I do think the pay raise is justified. I think that the ending of the Lulus was a good move. In fact, I think I ended up as one of the only senators with a Lulu other than the leader. And I said, well, I'm not taking it, so it doesn't really matter. So, you know, it's actually, that also seems to be fine in the Senate. Nobody seems particularly upset about this from my colleagues. And then you get to the commission's saying no outside income beyond the certain, you know, percentage and of the, I think, 15% of your Senate pay. And we're talking about, you know, outside wages, not if you wrote a book and are getting money for certain things. But there, I also, the Senate Democrats had a bill to do exactly that, and I've always supported the bill. So I think it's actually an excellent idea to outlaw the outside second jobs. I'm just not 100% sure the commission had the legal authority to do it. And I think that's where, you know, regardless of where you fall position-wise on the issue, it's an interesting question of what the courts will determine, because I think there are a case or cases moving through with that question.
Right.
But I would like to see the legislature go ahead and pass the bill that I know we have in the Senate, I'm not sure about the Assembly, that actually does away with the outside second jobs. Congress basically lives under the exact same rules.
Mm-hmm.
The City Council in New York applied, it's the same rules. I think it's the right thing. And just speaking for myself, I'm starting my 17th year in the Senate. It's a 24/7 job. I must do it really badly because I can't imagine how I could do it part-time.
Well, for you.
And have another job.
But there are others who do have other jobs. And, you know, you're exemplary. That's why we're sitting here talking to you, because of our admiration for you. But not everybody has those standards, and not everybody works 24/7.
And you know what? Some people who have outside jobs who they're committed to and may pay them more than what they get as a senator or assembly member, they may make the decision, well, it's in the best interest of me and my family
to go
leave
away.
The legislature and continue my outside employment. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to be chattel because you ran for the legislature.
Sure.
It's not necessarily supposed to be a lifetime one and only job, although I will tell you there are a few legislators who have been here pretty much their whole lives and are exemplary public servants. I'll use Dick Gottfried as an example. I think he's
sure.
in his 48th year.
I remember him when he was a kid. I remember him when he was the youngest guy in the legislature. I am.
That's right. I know. But, I mean, Dick is a superstar, more knowledgeable about the incredibly complex issues of public health, health policy, health financing, you know, we would be a lesser state with not as good laws and consumer protections and health care if not for Dick Gottfried committing his life to this.
Well, anybody,
I'm not a term limit person, but I think it's fine if people say, I can't do this full time, and so now I'm going to make a decision. If they make the decision to leave public office and go do something else, that's healthy and that's fine.
Hey, Liz, if you grew up on the west side of Manhattan, as Dick and I did, you have to know that that's what instills character in people.
Clearly, because many fantastic people have come from the Upper West Side, even though that is not my district.
You're right.
It is Senator Brad Hoyleman's district. I am proudly on the east side.
No.
Yes, some great people
thing.
Came from the west side. Don't start with me, Alan.
My mother told me, don't go over there. So,
anyway,
these are quick questions, but not less important. And that is, you were with the governor at Barnard College to announce that the state's moving forward to codify abortion rights into New York state law. Is that going to get done? And why shouldn't it get done right away, first day?
Well, it's not going to get the first day, but it's going to get done before the end of January. And the reason why is because it's fundamentally important we modernize our laws. It's not hypothetical. It's not even just dependent on how quickly the federal government basically disarms and disbands Roe v. Wade. It's about real women facing medical crises here in New York, not having the laws that allow their health care providers to provide the health care services that are in their best interest. Women whose lives may be at stake, women whose future health is at stake. Women who right now can be told that they are carrying a fetus who will never survive to completion of pregnancy or die at the actual birth in a tragic way. And those women cannot get the abortions that are in their best interest and in the fetus's best interest because of our antiquated laws. So we've waited way too long.
Yep.
And I can't wait for the fact that we are absolutely going to pass that bill in both houses, same bill. Deborah Glick carries it in the Assembly. I carry it in the Senate. I have 34 Democratic sponsors on the bill. I have more votes. I know we can pass it, and the Assembly will pass it. And then on Friday, we stood there with the governor and heard him say, and I will sign your bill as soon as it's passed. And I think that will be a significant public health victory for the state of New York and the people who live here, and also a clear message that having a Democratic Senate working to bring all of this new blood, new energy, new commitment into the Senate with 15 new Democratic senators is going to result in more and more important things happening this year.
I think it's great. And I don't think I'm impolite, which I am, for interrupting, but I did want to ask you a number of other things real quickly. We're going into the lightning round. Legalizing marijuana, you know, there are enforcement issues. There is what somebody stone drivers and all the rest, prior convictions, minority communities, who are most affected. Can you do that in a minute?
Okay. So I carry the New York State marijuana legalization and regulation bill with Crystal Pupil Stokes from the Assembly. We have been working on that bill for 4 years. It is an enormously complex bill because of just some of those issues you raised. We're very proud of the bill and think it's the right answer for New York. We have been working with the governor's office very closely on a package that the governor also can be comfortable and proud of. He will probably introduce it as part of his budget. I can't speak for sure, but I think so. And everybody will have a chance to review. And they've had 4 years to be working with me and Crystal, looking at and reviewing our bill. I absolutely believe New York State can and should have a legalized, regulated system. It's coming to every border of New York. So how absurd is it that I think Great Barrington is opening a marijuana dispensary? Can we get there in half an hour or something from Albany?
Yeah. An hour,
so,
please, because I do it every day. Yeah.
Oh, fine.
Yeah.
But you can get to the Massachusetts border in half an hour.
You can.
Canada, Vermont, New Jersey's about to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fallacy. Well, first of all, it's a fallacy that people are being prevented from getting and using marijuana now. There are apps, and it just shows up for you, even though it's illegal. I think it's important to have a legal system that you know exactly what it is you are buying, that we get cartel and serious drug people out of this business, that we cure the penalties that primarily young people of color have suffered under for being caught with a couple of marijuana cigarettes in their pockets. I mean, I haven't used marijuana since I was 19, but white people were never getting arrested for marijuana my entire
right.
life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the statistics for black and Latino young people is horrendous. So there's so much we can do right with legislation. And yes, we need to make sure you're not driving while intoxicated, just the way we have rules about not driving when you're using alcohol. And there are absolutely ways that law enforcement can have, you know, new tools for evaluation and strengthen and protect. I'm certainly not saying we shouldn't do that. I'm saying we should do that. And we've been looking at what other states have successfully done. And every time a new state opens up a system, there's new ideas and new lessons for us from
gotcha.
Them.
Gotcha. Again, you'll pardon my rudeness, but you got a minute and 52 seconds to tell me
okay.
what issues you want to, and you could just name them. Well, you don't have to explain them, but name what you want to get done in the state Senate on day one of the session.
Well, day one, I think we're going to be doing voting rights within a couple of days. I think we are definitely going to do reproductive health and a few other women's health bills very quickly. I am hoping we can take on election reforms as well. For me, the just endless issue, which is hard to do in a day, but we can't let go of, are environmental crises and carbon reduction. Because, as you know, we have a matter of years to reverse the patterns that this country is like the worst at in the world. And we can't depend on the federal government right now, so we have to up the game in every single state to strengthen our own laws for sustainable energy, decreasing carbon emissions, getting out of oil and gas. There are lots and lots of critical bills we could and should pass in New York State to be able to say we are the leaders in countering climate change in this country. That's where I want to see us go.
Well, Liz Krueger, of course, I have tremendous admiration for you, and have always said so, but I want you to know that the proof is in the pudding, and we'll see, just as Dr. Padilla used to say to me, my dissertation advisor, we'll just see, Shartok, whether or not it all gets done, and who raises an ugly head to say, well, we can't do it for this reason or that reason. Good luck on your quest, and I hope you are the hero that I know you are, as opposed to, you know, Don Quixote.
I've been accused of being Don Quixote, and you know what? If you're not an optimist, you can't do this work. Right? If you don't believe that you can make it better, then you can get progress, then you simply shouldn't be an elected official. And I know that I will lose more than I win. That's always been the story. But I'm still showing up on my 17th year, more excited than ever about the things we can accomplish.
We are out of time. Our guest has been the good Senator Krueger. Liz Krueger, thank you so much for joining us. It's been great. We hope you'll be back many times over the next months.
Thank you so much. Take care, Alan.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.